die and reborn to serve. Look at that topic. From the day you and I were born into this world, we're living a life and we're going to die. But reborn to serve. In other words, good works. I want to emphasize that this morning, and we're going to look at some scriptures. Let's go to Titus 2, 11 and 14, all the way through. For the grace of God, which means what? His unmerited favor. That's what grace means, unmerited favor. And blessing has come forward or appeared. Why has God's grace appeared? For the deliverance from sin and the eternal salvation for all mankind. So it's by grace that we are saved through Jesus Christ. Now, the grace has trained us to reject. Notice the two purple words. Grace has trained us to reject and renounce what? What is all ungodliness? Sin. Can we define it? Everything that is not of God is sin. And worldly passionate desires. You know what that means, of course? Worldly passionate desires. Now, the grace of God has trained or is training us to reject these things. But as we reject these things, notice what happens. Now we've got to live. You reject, now we've got to live. What must we live? We've got to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled lives. Upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this what? This present world. So this present world is dark. The present world is sinful. You and I have come out of the world. But as we live this life, awaiting and looking for the fulfillment, the realization of our blessed hope, Jesus Christ, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Look at verse 14. Who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us. What's another word for redeem? Buy us back. Redeem, buy us back. Or purchase our freedom from all iniquity, and notice what happens. To purify for himself what? A people. Who's the people? We the people. He's purifying us because grace has taught us to reject this, but also to live this way. So to purify himself, a people, to be peculiarly his own, people who are eager. Oh, say that word again, please. Eager and? Oh, this is a difficult age to be enthusiastic, right? Eager and enthusiastic about what? Living a life that is? Notice that. Good and filled with beneficial deeds. Another word for deeds? Works. Beneficial deeds, two other words, good works. Now, I'm going to ask Nicole before I go into that section. Nicole, go back one for me again. There's a blue word there. A word written in blue. From all iniquity and purify for himself. There's a story about two senior ladies that was in a congregation. Their husbands had died. They're worshiping God together and they're very good friends. But one lady, one of the senior ladies, regularly went for nip and tuck. You know what nip and tuck is? You know, pull straight and whatever. She used to go regularly for nip and tuck. After several years, her friend asked her, let's call her D. D, why is it that you are so concerned about your wrinkles? Why do you go for nip and tuck so often? So she turned around and said, well, the Bible says the Lord is coming back for a spotless and wrinkle-free bride. And I want to be a wrinkle-free bride when Jesus Christ comes. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And she goes for nip and tuck. So if any of you would like to do that, you're more than welcome. Jesus is coming back for a bride that's without spot and wrinkle. All right, let's go to the next slide again, Nicole. Notice that he's good and filled with beneficial deeds. Another translation. And to make us his very own people, totally what? Committed, zealous to do what? Good works. We are born into this world and ultimately we're going to leave this world by death. Unless the rapture takes place. But that's where we're heading. During this course of birth and about to die, there are people that have encountered Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Many of you, if not all of you, have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. In other words, you are reborn and you have the nature and character of Christ within us. We've accepted Christ. We are followers of Him. Now that we are followers of Him, we become servants. Servants of the Most High God. Servants to do the work of God. In other words, we are reborn. If we are reborn, we are reborn to do what? To serve. To do good works. But what part does good works play in the Christian life? Let's analyze this for a moment. Does good works save us? Come on, come on. Why not? You want to tell me we don't earn any brownies? With scouts we do. No brownies? We can't work? Say, God, look what I've done. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. Ouch. Thanks, Father. So we find there's no ways that good works plays any part within rebirth. But after rebirth, works play a vital part. So we know from the scriptures that there is nothing we can do to make right with God. God has initiated it all. For God so loved that He gave His one and only. So we recognize we are not saved by them, but it is important to do them. But what qualifies as good works? Giving to charities over the Christmas season? Helping somebody out at their home? Giving somebody gas when they don't have gas in the tank? Are those all good works? And we've got to define what is good works. And we'll get to that in a minute. But we recognize good works are works you do that are good and for the benefit of others. To kind of lift them up. And we're going to see that through the scriptures. But here's the question we need to ask. Is there a difference between good works of what we do as Christians and fruit of the Spirit? Because if you go to Galatians, it speaks about the evil deeds comparison to the fruit of the Spirit. So what do you think? Is there a difference between fruit of the Spirit and good deeds or good works? Or is it possible they are intertwined? Is it possible each one has his place, but sometimes they overlap? So we find the fruit of the Spirit deals internally with us. But the good deeds is a decision you and I make. And we exercise the right to do it according to what God has laid on our hearts. But good works is, of course, something you and I deliberately do. Why do we do good works? What do you think? To please God? When do you stop doing good works? Never? Even the person you do it for isn't appreciative of? You keep on just throwing pearls to the swines? Think. Why do we do good works? And especially for those that don't even appreciate it. You guys are talking nice, huh? It's something that's in us. We do not do it to get glory from man. It's our nature in Christ that demands us to do that. So it's nothing to do with how I feel, but what the Word of God says. And the Bible goes throughout the Bible, you'll find a number of scriptures, and I want to deal with a few of them. It says we've got to abound, be abundant in good works. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Jot these scriptures down. I've highlighted many of the ones I want to emphasize. Besides, God will give you His constantly overflowing kindness, referring to everyone that's a follower of Jesus Christ. Then you will always have everything you need. Wait a bit, guys. Wait a bit. How can I say I need, when the Bible says you will always have everything you need? What is the I'm born again. But what is the prerequisite for having everything I need? God. A walk with God, constantly learning of Him, but He's going to give you His constantly overflowing kindness every day. We see the kindness of God in our lives. Then you will always have everything you need. You can do what? More and more good things, abundantly. So as the child of God, do we have to do good deeds? What do you think? Yes. Why? Because God says it. So we do good deeds. You can do more and more good things. The Bible says also producing good work in Colossians 1 verse 10. We ask this so that you will live the kind of lives. Notice the scripture, God's word translation. We ask this so that you will live the kind of lives that does what? We're doing a very practical sermon this morning. Very practical. That you will live the kind of lives that does what? That prove you belong to the Lord. So is it possible that I can live a life, although I say I'm a Christian verbally, I can live a life and the life I live does not really prove that I belong to the Lord? How will people know I belong to the Lord? By the life I live. Does it mean it's a perfect life? No. I'm the only one. You guys are struggling. So we find we have asked this so that you will live the kind of lives that prove you belong to the Lord. Then you will want to please Him in every way. I love this sentence. I love what He presents to us. Then you will want to please Him in every way. As you grow. How many of you are growing? I'm not talking about growing old now. We're all growing. We're all growing. We're maturing, right? As you grow, notice this, guys, in producing every kind of good work. So must the Christian produce good work? Yes. Because it also proves who we belong to. Remember who you are. Light, salt. And God wants us to live this life. So it's ready to do this good work. But in 2 Timothy 2:21, we find something interesting. Those who stop associating, oh my gosh. Remember I told you this is a practical sermon. So where there's ouch, say ouch. And if it gets too much, just go outside, take a deep breath and come back in again. Those who stop associating, what does this mean? Those who stop associating with dishonorable people. My mate, if we're going to stop this, where are we going to hang out? Oh, the world is full of this. Those who stop associating with dishonorable people. In other words, continuously hanging out with dishonorable people. I kind of hear a trend. I see a trend. The minute the Christian makes a statement like this, do not associate with dishonorable people. You know what's the trend within the Christian circles now? Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Oh, I'm there to judge. I'm there to judge works. I'm at times there to judge motives. I'm there to judge fruit. But I'm not there to judge unto condemnation. Because that's God. So I've got to learn to judge between right and wrong. But what is the measure stick? If I'm going to judge, what is the measure stick? The word of God. So if I say, you're going to stop associating with dishonorable people. Who says? Are you being judgmental now? Come on. So what? So what? You either stand for something or fall for everything. So we're going to stand with the word of God. So notice, those who stop associating with dishonorable people will be honored. But there's something else here, guys. If you stop associating with dishonorable people, in other words, hanging out like buddies all the time, they will be set apart. Now, as I said, very practical. I want us to understand this. I want us to get the mind of Christ. I want us to have familiarity with the word of God. They will be set apart. Let's be in school this morning. Who will be set apart? Who's going to be set apart? The folks that stop associating with dishonorable people. Are we better than them? No. We've come out of that. We were in darkness, but we are in the light now. But in the light, we present the light to the darkness. But the Bible says darkness and light has nothing in common. Nothing. So it's not that we're better. It's just that he's taken our sins away. Yes, we are living this life. We're still in this world. We still screw up. We still make mistakes. We at times sin. But the Bible makes it very clear. If we sin, we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the beauty about it. Is it a cop-out? Is it a loophole? Is it a gray area? No. We're in this body that is not perfect. But notice, they will be set apart to do what? Or to who? For the master's use. If I interpret that, for the what comes to your mind when I say master? Yeah, what else? A master's got to have what? Servants. Yes, the servants. Bond slaves voluntarily accepted Christ as their personal savior. They will be set apart for the master's use. Prepared to do good things. Another word, good works. Prepare to do good works. But in Titus 3 verse 1, remind believers, I don't know if I want to read this now. Would you read it? I'm not going to read this. Can we block this out? Like Heather says, if you don't like the page, tear it out, you know. Remind believers to willingly place themselves under the authority of the government. Okay, let me get my breath back. Remind believers to willingly, of course I'm exempt from this, but in any case, remind believers to willingly place themselves under the authority of government officials. Believers should obey them. To what extent do I obey them? When can the obedience stop? When it goes against the word of God. Thus far, no further. I don't care what they want to do. God created a man and a woman, and that's it. So believers should obey them. Yeah. But notice, and be ready to help who? Who's them? You must be nuts. I got to help these guys. They need our help. We're the salt of the earth. Believers should obey them and be ready to help them. But notice what our responsibility is. Not to associate with the dishonorable, but our responsibility is to be ready to help the darkness with every good thing they do. And the good thing, it's for the profitability of the individual, for the building up of the individual, for the building up of the community. So we've got to have this readiness to help as children of God. So do we have some responsibility? Yeah. We can't just sit back and say, I'm not getting involved. We've got to get involved because we are the light. We've got to present the message to the dark world. I want us to just spend a bit of time at Titus 3 verse 8, 9 and 10. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God, which is most probably all of us, that those who have believed in God should be careful to do what? Maintain good works. So get your working clothes on. No, not your halo clothes, not your Christian stuff. Your working clothes. We're going to work. But look at verse 9. These things, what things? Good works are good and profitable to men. And that's what the good works are. Profitable to people. Takes them to another level. But I want you to notice the comparison over here. We've got to have these things, the good works. But then the Bible goes on and it describes certain things to us concerning our lifestyle. What are the certain things? Avoid what? How much foolish disputes are there? How many Christians are involved in foolish disputes? Genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law. Why must I avoid this stuff? Notice the word in red compared to the one just above it under these things. These things are good and profitable for or to men, but all these things you got to avoid, for they are what? In other words, it doesn't build people up. Avoid those things. They are unprofitable and useless. Verse 10. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. So the Bible speaks of different kinds of works. We're going to look at some of the ones in the scripture. I'll refer to them. They're not on the screen. And as we look at these different kinds of works, There are the works of the law, as we find in Galatians. There are works of the flesh that you do out of carnality. Those things God doesn't like. Paul speaks of the works of darkness. We're not involved in the works of darkness because we've come out of darkness into light. The Bible speaks of dead works, or works that lead to death and condemnation. So throughout the Word of God, we find works that are good, works that are bad. We don't want to do the bad stuff. We want to do the good stuff. And Paul writes about this in Ephesians 2 verse 10. And this is what he says. For we are God's workmanship. What a workmanship. I'm a workmanship in progress. You're a workmanship in progress. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Notice, they are good works. Contrast to wicked works. Before we knew Christ, we were involved in wicked works. Now we're involved in good works because we have the nature and the character of Christ. And guys, this is what we got to understand. And I share it with people all the time concerning our nature. Sometimes we want to change people from the outside in. That's just like we always say, you're just putting a lipstick on a pig. You can't do that. And I'm not referring to people as pigs, but that's just the similarity in the sense of, you know, we want to work from the outside in. But a Christian, or becoming a born-again Christian, something changes from the inside and it works outwardly. So this is where we are. The works of darkness and the good works. In Ephesians 2 verse 2, notice this. You used to live in sin. How many of you used to live in sin? Only some of you, right? All of us, we were born into that, guys. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world. They're still living, according to the scripture, they're still living in the world. We've come out of the world living for Christ. Our responsibility is to get the message to them so they can come out of the world into Christ, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit, notice this, at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So now you have the devil's work and the God's work. God working in you, through me and you, and the devil working in those that are not born again. So there's your contrast between the good works and the wicked works. But the believer has God working in him. And therefore his works are good. His works are not good because he is good. My works and your works are good because we have the nature of God within us. And we must work joyfully because it's God working in and through us. There's a scripture in Matthew 5:16, and if we can understand just the root of this thing, in the same way, your light must shine before people. We're dealing with the practicality of walking in Christ today. In the same way, your light must shine. Why do we let our light shine when we feel like it? And the question is, do we have an option to let our light shine? Or should our light be shining all the time? What happens if you are the light, I am the light, and I'm in the midst of a group of people that are completely in darkness? They're blaspheming God. They're using God's name in vain. Do I just suck it up? Or do I say, excuse me? When I say excuse me, the emphasis would be to bring them to Christ or understand, let them understand, they are speaking about my Heavenly Father or my Savior Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, in the same way, your light must shine. Now, I'm going to share with you just an experience that's happened in my life, it was progressive. I grew up in a ministry that was alive and vibrant, like this one. There always used to be altar calls. And the amazing thing within the system and denomination of that day, there was a huge difference where they still have morning and evening services. The morning service was worship. In other words, there was an organ, piano, and that's about it. It was very somber. It was quieter. But the evening service, oh my gosh, the drummer will become alive, the trumpets will be there, the keyboards. In other words, it was called evangelistic service. No altar call on the Sunday mornings, but altar call on the Sunday night. Sunday morning, suit. Sunday night, suit, but no jacket. I'm going to share with you. I'll never forget. I was a young boy, gave my life to Jesus, had to go to church, suit. Those days, it was still three-piece suits. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The others are, what is he talking about? In other words, it was a pants and a jacket that matched, and it had a little coat. Not a petticoat, but it was a coat. A little jacket inside with your tie. I'll never forget. One Sunday, my mom went to church and I went later. And I got to the door. And the deacon told me, where are you going? I said, I'm coming to church. He says, no, you're not. I said, why not? He says, you haven't got your jacket on. I said, what? Remember, we come from very conservative. Ladies couldn't have short sleeve dresses. They had to wear hats those days. So I suppose if there was less hair, it would be nice to have a hat. But in any case, that's where we come from. The guy sent me home. Get your jacket and come back to church. My, oh my, oh my. I never went back to church. But my mother came home. Yeah, you know the rest of it. You know the rest of it. I got whacked from here to Cairo because I embarrassed her. And you dress up for God. That was an experience that always will stick with you, with me. But we notice, in the same way, let your light must shine before people so that you will see the good things. They will see the good things you do, and the result will be, and praise. Notice the wording, guys, and praise who? Why does it not say there? Do you see this? In the same way, your light must shine before people so that they, the people in darkness, will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. Yes, the question, why don't they praise their Father? Because their Father cannot produce good things. He can only produce wicked things. You and I can produce good things because we have the nature and the character of Jesus Christ that is totally opposite to the nature and character of the devil. So the believer has God working in and through him. And our good works, oh, you're going to love this, guys. Our good works means something to God. The stuff you and I do to help each other, the stuff we do to build people up, the stuff we do in the community, it pays off. I'll tell you why. Hebrews 13:16. Do not forget to do good, to do good works, and to help one another. Why? Why? Because these, what are these? The good works, the helping of each other, those things are the sacrifices that please God. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes you and I do things, who cares? They don't even notice it. They're not supposed to notice it. He's pleased with what you do. He's pleased with what... So when do I stop when the person doesn't appreciate it? Do I stop just because I don't get recognition? Do I stop because somebody doesn't pat me on the back and say, well done? Do I stop because I don't feel like doing it anymore? No. I keep on doing good things because it's the nature of Christ that is within me and I cannot help it. I naturally did the things of the devil. I naturally sinned. I didn't have to be encouraged to sin. And now I don't have to be encouraged to do good works. Why? I've got the nature of Christ within me. I'm a born-again child of God. So I keep on doing these good works. I'll give you an example. I read about a Christian lady who had visited a retirement home that was near. She used to go quite often to this retirement home and minister to the people. Lee does that quite often. He goes to homes and he goes and sings and inspires the people with the word of God and his songs. One day she noticed a lonely man sitting, staring at his dinner tray. Nobody sat with him. So she went over to him and said, "What's wrong? Are you okay? Why aren't you eating?" Well, the old man looked at her and said, "Is something wrong? Let me tell you what is wrong. I'm a Jew and I cannot eat this food." Most probably, there was pork. And he refused to eat the food. He says, "You want to know what's wrong? I'm a Jew and I cannot eat this food." She asked him, "What would you like to have?" And he said to her, "I would love to have a bowl of soup." Guess what she did? She went home because she lived nearby, got some soup together, and brought it to the man. Was that a good deed? Yes. Did it benefit that man? Did it build him up? Yes. That's the good deeds we're talking about. Preparing a bowl of soup means what? It was a sacrifice that pleased God. A bowl of soup? A bowl of soup? Yeah. Yeah. It's a good work that built somebody up. So my saying to you, to me, to you and to me this morning is this. God did not save us to sit. God saved us to serve. And I really, Heather and I am so appreciative. And we stand back and are amazed to see the amount of people serving here. 70-75% serving somewhere. Some start early hours of the morning. Others are so faithful every single day. Others throughout the week. God did not save us to sit. He saved us to serve. And good works should be encouraged. I don't know if I need to do that this morning. Encourage you to do good works. Maybe there's a few that I can say, come on. But God has just blessed us. But notice what I'm saying this morning. Good works should be encouraged at church and outside of the church. If I say it should be encouraged in the church, why? To build the body up. If I encourage for outside of the church, we are the light and the salt and we've got to have an influence. Even if we are rejected, He does not reject us. I'd rather have people reject me than God reject me. Hebrews chapter 10, 24. What have I got? Three more scriptures. Two after this one. Look what it says. Let us think of ways to do what? Oh, Bob Allen will say provoke. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. What must we do? And that's what we do here. People go for surgeries. People are hurting. People have got trouble. You guys get involved. Notice, to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. You get to the point here at Crossway that sometimes you don't even want to open your mouth anymore. Because the minute you open the mouth, they give. They get involved. Are we going to have a spaghetti dinner? Boom. Yeah, we're paying for it. We're going to have dessert. Yeah, we're paying for it. Calm down. All right. So, one another to acts of love. And that's what I love. We don't have to motivate much here to do good works. And then, of course, let us not neglect our meeting together. I love this. And this was the scripture I used during COVID. I'm not ridiculing. I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying I decided during COVID not to go online. The folks that have gone online, particularly the smaller churches, are struggling to get the people that were online back into their churches today. I got hammered for that. And it's absolutely, these shoulders are very broad. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some are what? As some people do, another translation says, are in the habit of doing. But notice, but encourage one another. So we saw previously, we got to motivate one another for good works. And now we find encourage, they go hand in hand. Encourage one another. When must I encourage one another? All the time. All the time. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Let's do it. One more mile. Come on, come on. Let's do it. We're going to see the King. Notice, we're going to encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return. So is he coming? Is he coming soon? Will he come in my lifetime? Maybe. Maybe. But I'm going to be ready. You're going to be ready. We're going to encourage one another. Notice that. We come to church for many reasons, to worship God, our teams, our children's ministry, our music, our sound guys, our computer guys, our ushers, everybody, epic. We come here to glorify God. But we also should encourage each other to come to church and do good works. And outside of the church, there's got to be good works. Why? The world needs it. And God expects us to do it. Why does God expect us to do it? Who's the master? He's the master. And the master has prepared good works for those that love him. Remember that God, that good works brings honor to our Heavenly Father. I want to quote Matthew 5:16 again. Look at this. In the same way, your light, what's the next one? I don't feel like it, guys. I just don't. I'm down in the dumps today. I've had a terrible morning. The kids made a mess in the house. There's eggs all over the floor. I don't feel like letting my light shine today. Who taught you that? Whoever taught you that, stone that person. In the same way, your light, come on guys, gals, guys, your light must shine. Must. Before, you see, it doesn't say must shine before demons. It doesn't say before angels. It says, your light must shine before people. Why? Because we're reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. People that are in darkness. Your light must shine before people so they will see the good things you do and praise your Heavenly Father. man, we are his servants. I want to conclude because you and I, in this human body, and sometimes this human body shows its age. Sometimes environment has its impact on us, and sometimes we just don't feel like doing things, or particularly if we don't get response from people. Let me close with Galatians 6, verse 9, and I'm going to ask you to read it with me aloud. So, let us not become what? Tired of? For we do not. The time will come. Can you look at that again with me? So let us. Who's us? Servants of the Master. Servants of the Lord. Born again Christians. Let us not become tired of doing good. What happens if they give you lip? You know, I love the scripture. When somebody harms you, the Bible says, turn what? But have you noticed there's not a scripture that tells you what to do after that? Turn the other cheek. So you turn the other cheek and then you exercise the fivefold ministry. One, two, three. Let us not become tired of doing good. For if we do not give up, the time will come that we're going to reap the harvest. Look at John Wesley. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, in all the places you can, as long as ever you can. Does that sum us up? Does that sum the Word of God up? Let's ask the question. How successful are we? Let's ask the question, can I live up to the standard? Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can, in all the places you can, as long as ever you can. I think that's changing our minds a little bit. I think it changes our response quite a bit now. That impacts my environment. It impacts my workforce. It impacts where I live. It impacts where I work. I want to do good. Even if they don't accept it, I'm not going to grow tired or weary of doing good because I have the character and the nature. You have the character and the nature of God, and that character and nature of God is doing good for the benefit of people, for the benefit of, in other words, lifting them up. Bad works don't lift people up, it draws them down. Good works lift people up, and particularly the good works that has got a pure motive. I don't do good to get. I do good because I've got the nature of Christ within me. There is no ultimatum. There is no motive behind this. I'm doing it because of the character and the nature of God. So let's put this into practice to the best of our ability. Remember, we are growing. We are striving. We are maturing. But we add this and say, God, let the character and the nature, your nature, become more stronger and stronger in my life as I learn. And the Bible says, I got to put off these old things and clothe myself with the new things. But I want to work for the Master. Well done, my faithful servant. Well done. So let's work. The Bible says, let's work while it is day. Why? The night is coming. Darkness, judgment is coming. So let's work now while the light is still there. Come, we pray together. Father, I thank you for this morning's.